Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking, where we talk about every topic under the sun. Today we're talking to Dick Amper. He is the director of the Pine Barrens Society, and we've been talking about water, and it's pretty interesting and pretty complex, all of the things that go into that. But one of the things that occurred to me was that the Pine Barrens, Dick, it was designed to preserve a water source.
You're absolutely right. The Long Island Pine Barrens was created 12,000 years ago when the last glacier moved back north, carving out Long Island Sound and leaving this porous sandy island. And the Pine Barrens grew there because not much, that's why they call it the Barrens, not agriculture wouldn't succeed there. But as a result, the water falling from the sky that recharges that aquifer fell on clean, pristine land. There was no development there. There was nothing to get in the water and created the greatest quantities of the purest drinking water anywhere in New York State.
You know, Michael Grandy once explained to me how water accumulates on Long Island. And in the abundance of water that we do get, we actually have a dome of water. It doesn't look flat under the ground. It looks like a dome because it's piled up in the middle and just goes out to the edges. We have excess
Well, we do. The quantity of water in most places on Long Island is not the issue. There are some saltwater intrusion areas around the perimeter, but for the most part, we have plenty of water. And Michael LeGrandi, who helped get that drinking water protection program passed and served in the Suffolk County Water Authority, what he recognized is the truth about our water, and that is the water that falls on the north and south shores simply serves to push out the intruding water from Long Island Sound or Great South Bay, the Atlantic Ocean. It's the water that falls down the spine that is recharging our well, if you would, our sole source aquifers. And when the public realized that this was the purest water going and we had a pine forest sitting atop it that would protect it forever, they have invested $700 million, provided at a quarter penny at a time at the supermarket or at the drugstore. And that water is pure. So what we're trying to do now is to make sure that we do more of that. The public on Long Island has put up more money to protect open space over water than 45 of the 50 states in the union.
I had a point when I brought that up, by the way. One of the things that we talked about before was preventing the pollution in the first place.
Exactly.
But in a time of emergency, we could tap into that water.
We're increasingly doing it right today. We're moving further and further away from the Pine Barrens to provide clean water where the water is not so clean.
So, in other words, are we piping it out of the Pine Barrens?
We are. And by the way, no one's objecting because, as you say, it's not a quantity problem. We want to supply it. And as you've also said, we need to supply it regionally. Now, it's not practical necessarily to take it from there to Montauk at this point. So we do need to protect areas that sit over similar aquifer recharge areas in Nassau and Suffolk County. And that's what the goal of open space preservation is really all about.
Now, I know a little about the mechanics of water mining. And when you get to a very deep level, you can get a very pure water, even close to the shoreline, without the intrusion of salt.
If you don't overpump it. If we overdevelop the shoreline and we're taking too much out.
I believe we call that the Magothy.
Well, the upper glacial is the most surface one, but where most of our drinking water is coming from is the Magothy. And we have seen a 200% increase in pollution of the Magothy just in the last 15 years. Then the Lloyd, the one that is most deep, we try to avoid tapping at all because it's our last
reservoir.
That's correct. So right now, we're trying to do everything we can to restore the health of the Magothy Aquifer because that's going to help most deal with the drinking water and the surface water needs. And they're all connected, by the way, the bays, the beaches, the health of our beaches, of our estuaries, fishing and boating and all of that, the capacity to go swim, all of that is being affected by our aquifer. That groundwater is not just what's coming out of our tap. It's what we're swimming in or fishing in or trying to grow clams in. And that is what it is that we're focused on. So we need to say, what is adversely affecting it? Where is most of this coming from?
Well, as a practical matter, Dick, wouldn't it be practical to take that area around the Pine Barrens, use the water now, and service that area, at least? I guess that would be Yaphank and Patchogue.
Some of Yaphank is in the Pine Barrens, some of it is not.
Okay. At the same time, we need to clean up the real problem that's happening.
Well, that's right. We got to stop poisoning the water that's there by simply depending on the Pine Barrens to meet that requirement down the road. What's causing the problem is an issue. And as we've said, it's principally sewage, the nitrogen from sewage. And that's really, I have to say, it's because the island is overdeveloped. We're beyond our carrying capacity.
But I want to give people some hope.
Well.
And the hope is, not only do we clean it up, but in an emergency, we could build pipelines out maybe as far as what? Huntington?
You can do everything with money, they say. The fact of the matter is we would be foolish not to stop doing what's contaminating it, even while trying to protect something like the Pine Barrens that's a fallback position where you do have clean water. Moving that water around is going to be expensive. Cleaning it up at the end of the day, cleaning up the rest of the island's water at the end of the day makes the most economic and environmental sense.
Let me create another thought.
Sure.
If you have this Pine Barrens and it's servicing an area, and we clean up the rest, what we've essentially done is we've created a Pine Barrens where people are living in, that we're collecting more water that we can use. Is that a good description?
I would say no, that we're simply protecting the purest source while we spend the 10 or 15 years it's going to take to clean up the damage that's been done to the areas outside that Pine Barrens forest. And that's what we really need to do. We need to control the amount of development and how water is discharged from development. If we need to allow more units be in an area downtown that's sewered, if they can reduce more nitrogen, fine, that works for the economy and the environment. If the farmers can continue to be the leading agricultural producing county in the state without the integration of pesticides and fertilizers that we're facing now, then farming can continue.
Aren't you somewhat buoyed by the fact that we think a lot more about organic farming?
I think that is so terrific because people are willing to spend the extra buck to get something that is really pure. And guess what else they're doing? Now they're having their wells tested where they're on individual septic systems and not connected to public water, because they want to be sure that they're not contaminating their own wells from pesticides and fertilizers on farms. The public is really, really savvy about this, and no place like Long Island.
Organic growing on Long Island is pretty pervasive.
It's growing, and the wine industry has eschewed the use of these nitrogen fertilizers and so forth. There's a tremendous collective effort among smart, caring people to say, wait a second, we love the place, we need to take care of it, and that we're beginning to do that now, Ernie, we are.
And if you have all these poisons and stuff in your house, don't flush them.
Right, or pharmaceutical drugs. We were all told you just dump the medicine in the toilet so that the kids didn't get it. It's showing up in our water for the first time.
And the fish are getting loaded.
Yeah, that's right. It's okay for us to drink scotch. They should not be taking penicillin, I don't think. I don't know. But it's a complicated problem, and I'm glad that you took the time today to raise that, because we are optimistic that the people are going to make government move. You've heard the expression, when the people lead, the leaders will follow. And I think that's already happening.
You know, I think people who voice their opinions are important. I'm one of them, to make things change. But people who are actually doing the work, they're even more important. I'm glad to see that there's somebody out there besides me, because I only talk about it. Other people do things because they can.
But the public's squarely behind it, and we appreciate it. We couldn't do it without the support of the public, and we have that support on the
The media. You need the media.
Absolutely. You're doing your part, sir.
Okay. I appreciate that. I feel better now. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're talking about a very important issue, the water quality on Long Island. Dick Amper has taken a leadership role, and he has for many, many years, and we hope to solve this problem. Again, thank you for listening. This is Long Island News Radio 103.9.